Sunday night's main event is crowdfunded. You can support the show by joining our Patreon. Just visit patreon.com/SNMEradio. Patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
CM Punk returns. Becky Lynch returns. Brock Lesnar returns. And if I paid for SummerSlam, I'd want my money returned. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday night's main event. We are Canada's pro wrestling radio show, powered by Great Lakes Beer, a fiercely independent brewery, and broadcasting across the country on TSN Radio and via the iHeartRadio Talk Network. My name is Jason Agnew, and hey, it is SummerSlam weekend, so you'd think that would be the focus of tonight's show, but it's not the case, as the hottest free agent in all of professional wrestling returned to the ring in a glorious and memorable moment on Friday night's AEW Rampage. That's right, CM Punk is back. We shall take a look back at that moment and a look forward at AEW's next steps, and also chat about the two big returns to the WWE roster last night at SummerSlam with Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. Then later in the show, I'll be joined by NXT Talk host Boris Aguilar to chat about tonight's NXT TakeOver card, because yes, we are doing our second after party of the weekend live tonight for that event. And if you want to be a part of it, please join our Patreon at patreon.com/SNMEradio, and you will get a link to both listen and watch our show live. patreon.com/SNMEradio. We are taking a break and we'll be back with Dave Meltzer next, right here on Sunday night's main event.
In 1987, when Great Lakes Brewery was established, a lager was born. It came and went, but now has returned, along with the original label and stunning artwork. Every label tells a tale, so let's look at the story behind the Great Lakes Premium Lager label. Starting at the bottom left, we see the waves of the Great Lakes, which, at times, can be quite treacherous. Swing up to the top right. A mighty schooner cuts through the lake water majestically. Slide across to the left to see a blue cranberry bush, I think. Now, diagonally one panel over, and we'll see a sailboat gliding along, a mustache, I believe, or is that a bowl of strawberry swirl ice cream with a nose on it, smelling a yellow mushroom and a blue dancing dinosaur, all the while atop a blue snake and her snake child. What the heck is that? Look, all that matters is Great Lakes Premium Lager from GLB is crisp and clean and ticks all the boxes of a truly crushable beer.
Ridiculous.
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday night's main event.
Well, no news pack this week, because clearly all the news happened between Friday and Saturday night, and we'll continue on into tonight with the NXT show, and we'll try to get to all of it and pretty in-depth on it with Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. Dave, you have watched wrestling forever and a day. I have watched wrestling for many, many years, and I think both of us can agree that we watched something very, very special on Friday night on Rampage.
Yeah, I thought it was one of the best TV moments of wrestling ever. There's so much to it. I mean, it reminded me of the Ric Flair retirement maybe in 2008, or the Hulk Hogan in Montreal shortly after the 2002 WrestleMania, where the crowd made it. It wasn't like we saw, you know, like this incredible wrestling match. It was a very good promo, but it was already off the charts before Punk ever opened his mouth. He walked out, and I mean, you knew. I had it in my notes like about 15 seconds in. This is one of the greatest moments in wrestling history. Before he ever even was halfway to the ring. I mean, it was just one of those things that the crowd made. You know, it was the right city and the right building, and You know, I mean, it was a surprise, but it wasn't a surprise because every single person in that building knew it was going to happen. That's why they sold the building out, and, you know, immediately. And, I mean, it's a real testament, I mean, because there has never been, there is no precedent in history that I know of nothing of a show with nothing advertised in a market that had so many shows in a short period of time where with nothing advertised, but the idea of that you sort of knew that this was going to happen and selling out instantly like this, you know, I mean, there have been quick sellouts in wrestling history, but not in a city, not in a building that large when you had four shows in the same city over the next couple of weeks, and not when it's instant sellout the minute tickets went on sale and every time, you know, a few hundred extra seats would be put up, they'd be gone. And granted, a lot of that was scalpers too, but in the end, I mean, it was very unique before the match or before the interview ever happened in the history of wrestling. And then, you know, the thing that everyone came to see, you know, that was just just amazing.
It was just done so well. I mean, it was not a surprise, but it was a surprise, and we all knew it was going there. And you had Tony Khan come out before to address the live crowd. But what was nice about that is he didn't go on television to hog any airtime. He just went, you know, you guys are here for something special, and we're not going to disappoint. It's an incredible mentality to see from this company that is the polar opposite to what we get out of WWE, who continually tells fans, you don't know what you want. And Tony seems to go, what do you want? Oh, okay, I'll do my best to try to make that happen.
Yeah, well, you know, the company that is on the ascent, or the company that's, you know, number two, you know, you have to try harder and you have to listen to your audience. And the other company, you know, doesn't have to, because they're so financially set. I mean, they're bulletproof. For, you know, I mean, short of a horrible scandal. And they're, as far as, they're idiot-proof, at least for years and years, because their money's guaranteed from television. So they can do what they want. I mean, it's not like they don't listen to the audience, but there is a huge difference between the two. And anyone who denies that is really denying reality. It's just, you know, I mean, you know, one company is so responsive to the audience and, you know, lives, you know, really goes out of its way to put on the best shows that they can. And the other one does what it does. You know, it's a machine and it rolls on, but you don't have the same level of passion or anything like that in the idea of pleasing the fans.
I also saw a personal difference in the eyes of the performer himself. I mean, I interviewed CM Punk last week, and going into that interview, I was kind of like, oh, okay, I know I want to do this, but he's one of those guys where I'm like, is he just going to be a dick and stonewall me? Because he's kind of known for that. I saw a different person on television on Friday night.
Yeah, he was in tears. I mean, it was, you know, probably the greatest wrestling moment of his life.
Yeah.
You know, and he's had some big ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's so much. I mean, it's 7 years. And 7 years of, you know, age 35 to 42, which for a big wrestling star is your prime years. I mean, he was gone, and now, you know, he's coming back. And, you know, coming back to a company that he turned down. That, you know, like, we all know, like, yep. When AEW started, when Tony Khan started, I mean, it was the Young Bucks and CM Punk and Kenny Omega were the guys he wanted to build the company around, and, you know, he couldn't get CM Punk at the time. And he tried, and there was, you know, there was some press stuff that left both sides really bitter.
Mm-hmm.
But they talked for a long time before, you know, he finally agreed to do this. It's not like this is something that came together in, like, 8 weeks or three conversations. I mean, it was over a year to get this, and I think for whatever it is, I think that from a Punk standpoint, I think it's the confidence of knowing that he's not going to walk into a company. I believe that he really didn't want to walk into a company that would fail. And, you know, at the beginning, nobody knew if AEW would make it. And I think that of late, I mean, it's very obvious that this company is not failing, and it's incredibly successful for a 2-year company with such huge disadvantages in going against the incumbent company. And I think Punk realized that they weren't going to fail, and that he could be a difference maker in a wrestling war.
So beyond this punk moment and beyond what we believe to be Daniel Bryan signing on and debuting shortly, maybe that New York show, there has been talk of another star potentially headed there. And chatter has come up on your shows and your website this week about Bray Wyatt. Is the belief that Bray Wyatt is headed this direction as well? Because he's a little bit more complicated when I look at this.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've heard like, you know, different things. I know Impact's really after him, too, from what I understand. You know, there's mixed. I'll just say that. There's mixed. But, you know, there's certainly people in high places who are, you know, of the belief. He's got 90-day non-compete, so, you know, nothing can happen now. But there's certainly people that are of the belief that he's coming, yes.
All right, well, let's flip over to really, on this weekend, what should be the lead story, but it is clearly not, even though WWE did their best last night to try to make it the lead story with returns. SummerSlam was a Saturday, which I think is throwing all wrestling fans off. But nonetheless, we get Becky Lynch returning last night. Now, this came in a very weird scenario where she took over for Sasha Banks in a match. The original plan for Becky Lynch, do you know what it was?
I only know the original plan was October, November. Mm. So probably Survivor Series. You know, but yeah, it was changed when, you know, they basically felt that they had to give people something because Sasha Banks wasn't going to be on the show. And Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair was the rematch of a WrestleMania main event, the first rematch. And so it was a pretty big match. And, you know, they advertised, you know, whatever. They advertised Sasha Banks for a week knowing she wasn't going to be there with the idea that, well, if we give the people Becky Lynch, they'll be happy. And they were. But then they didn't give them a match.
No.
So that led to, you know, a mixed reaction. And there are people who are like, oh, we got to see Becky Lynch. That was cool. And other people who are like, you know, we were expecting to see this great match. And not only did we not see a great match, we didn't even see a match.
Along with that, it's yet another star from NXT and one that they've actually done a good job with the Royal Rumble and the title win and an absolute squash of Bianca Belair. Now, I've always been under the belief that Bianca Belair would make one heck of a heel, and this could have been that moment for her, but they did her no favors last night.
Well, we have to, you know, it's always in the follow-up, you know what I mean? But as far as the night, I was really disappointed. I mean, because you just want to see the match, and you don't want to see somebody get squashed like that. And I'm sure, you know, obviously there's reasons for it, and I would presume the reason is that Becky Lynch wasn't ready to wrestle, because if she was, they would have done a match. Or maybe they were just afraid that once the match started, it couldn't live up to the pop that Becky Lynch got coming out, so they just ended it, you know. And if they did a match, it would be, it's face versus face. The audience wouldn't know exactly what to do. But, you know, I don't buy that, because I think Lynch would have been just, no matter what happened in the match, I think people would have gone crazy for Lynch. So I just think that it was one of those things where she wasn't ready for a match just yet, and this was the way they got around it. But, you know, yeah. I felt bad for Belair.
Yeah.
And you know what? I mean, it's one of those things, you never know what's going to happen, because in a sense, it's like they squashed her, but that could lead to a groundswell backing her, because, you know, we saw that with Daniel Bryan,
yeah,
and Sheamus when they did the exact same scenario. And at the time, it was because they had no faith in Daniel Bryan, and it ended up with Daniel Bryan, you know, soon becoming the most popular wrestler in the company. So maybe they create the illusion that they've just screwed Bianca Belair and people will groundswell. Now, they did the same thing with Kofi Kingston, with Brock Lesnar, and no such thing happened. You know, Kofi Kingston just got moved to the mid-card, and that was that. So we got two different examples of the same thing, and, you know, we'll have to see what the crowd does and how they follow up.
How long did they know that Sasha was out, and what have we heard about her condition? Why is she out?
8 days, and as far as what it is, it's, you know, nobody will say, but, I mean, certainly everybody presumes the same thing, you know, which is, a medical condition.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, they knew a week ago Saturday that she wasn't going to be on the show. And I, you know, it's funny because, you know, there was words out that, like, she's cleared and this and that, and I kept hearing from people all week long that, you know, she's not cleared and she's not going to be at the show. And, you know, they advertised her the night before. They did the video package. They
right
never
before.
Said anything. The video package. Bianca Belair's in the ring waiting for it before they say, oh, by the way, she's not here. And, you know, it set up a chain of events, and they did have their bases covered with Lynch. It would have been a disaster without her. But, you know, I mean, to their credit, they saved a bad situation. But you know what? I mean, they could have just gone on Monday and just said what happened and that she's not going to be there and that there will be a mystery opponent and done the same thing. Mm. But, you know, I mean, it's just what they did. What can I say?
Now, Lebransky and I did a show last night, and Dan was under the belief that Lesnar's return was in response, in a direct response, to Punk on Friday. How did the Lesnar return come about, and was it?
I don't know for sure. I mean, certainly everyone who is around wrestling came to the same conclusion. I know that Lesnar and Roman Reigns was always on the agenda for way down the line. So obviously they're doing it sooner than later, and it would appear to be, but I would strongly suspect that within the next 3 days, people will tell me, no, it was always planned. So I'll just, for right now, I don't know the answer. You know, I probably will, and I'll probably be told something that isn't true by some people also. But you know, if you're around wrestling, that's absolutely the conclusion you would come to, and I know people all around wrestling who are all saying, yeah, of course, that's what it is. But that's not with inside knowledge. That's with knowledge of how wrestling works.
So, I mean, it looked like the Reigns reign, pardon the pun, was going to continue on to perhaps Rock at WrestleMania 2022 and some version of that, because Rock should be showing up at Survivor Series this year. And then the rumor around Lesnar was 2023, which is a very, very far away date to put on. But how does this affect what's happening there? I mean, Lesnar for Survivor Series, Lesnar for Royal Rumble, you think? Both?
Royal Rumble would be waste. Survivor Series. I mean, it could be Survivor Series. It could be that they feel that this fall is going to be a fight and they need Lesnar on TV and they need Lesnar on their big show. Could be for Saudi Arabia in October because that's really the big money show.
Right.
And they haven't been there in a long time. I could be next, you know. I mean, I wouldn't think it would be next year's Mania unless, you know, the only way it would be next year's Mania if would be if The Rock had told him, hey, I mean, schedule-wise, I just can't do it.
Right.
And then, and Lesnar was always, you know, in theory, the backup plan for next year's Mania. And then they decided, instead of shooting the angle at Rumble like you normally would, they shot it this week, which I'm sure, if you think about it, if that's the case. If it's not Saudi Arabia, which is October, and you would probably want to shoot the angle right about now for that. If it's not Saudi Arabia, then I would say that, or Survivor Series, and it is Mania, then I would say that that's a lock. It was in response to Punk because, you know, you wouldn't want to shoot it this far in advance if it was Mania.
Right. Speaking of Saudi Arabia and that date that was announced there, I would guess, looking at the finish of what we had in the Goldberg-Lashley match last night, that Goldberg is headed there, and dare we see a tag match with Gage?
Man, I think that would be a really bad idea.
You got to admit, it feels like it from what we saw last night, or Gage in the corner, like something there. I'm guessing MVP is getting a spear. I actually expected it last night, but wow, Goldberg looked worse than ever.
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, they tried to have him do stuff that he usually doesn't do. So that didn't help. So it was real clumsy. And then the finish was not a finish that people liked. And Goldberg was booed by a lot of the crowd.
Yes,
too.
Yes.
You know, but I mean, obviously the way that they did that finish was to build a rematch, yet, you know, having Lashley just destroy Goldberg in a manner, you know, people don't want to see their legends. You can beat a legend, but people don't want to see that finish from a legend, you know, where he's just out there crippled and can't do anything. And then, you know, you can still do the angle with the sun, you could tie him in the ropes, you know what I mean? And he can't get out, and then somebody undoes and he wants to kill him and they're gone. But you know, whatever. I mean, they're, you know, that was the decision that they made, and there you go.
There you go. I feel like that's kind of the MO for WWE. All right, there you go. We'll do that. There is an NXT takeover that is happening tonight. Now, takeovers tend to deliver. They're normally exceptional shows. I gotta say, this one has lost a lot of its luster. It feels like a bit of a funeral for NXT coming the day after a huge event. It's not in Las Vegas. It's really, really strange tonight, Dave.
I cannot understand why it's not in Las Vegas. They could, they had 45,000 legit last night. And you could have gotten 10,000 people, you know, in a building, and there's a million buildings there. They could run a 7,000-seat building, and it'd be so alive, you know, for this. And they have a great card. I mean, Walter and Ilya Dragunov was probably the best WWE match of last year. So that's a given. I've seen, like, I think four of their matches, and they're, you know, it's you know, unless one of them breaks his leg in, like, the first minute, and that match is going to be just absolutely incredible. And Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly, you know, are two guys who pretty much grew up together in the business and made each other back in Ring of Honor and, you know, have grown to be two of the best workers anywhere. And so, obviously that's an interesting one because, you know, Adam Cole is another name. Like, what's Adam Cole going to do is one of the big questions in wrestling right now. And the finish of the match may tell us something, or it may not tell us anything. I don't know.
I mean, and I think Samoa Joe returning to the ring is a very big deal as well. And then, you know, you talk about getting the SummerSlam fans, even if they're primary WWE fans, over NXT, they'll recognize Samoa Joe. That'd be huge for them.
I mean, the thing is like, you know, there's no way that this show would not have drawn well in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So why they didn't do it in Las Vegas, it's like, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, it's a weird thing because it almost feels like, you know, the company is trying to just make that, you know, the NXT brand not look good at this point because it's not like they don't have the card for it. And they, you know, but... you know, I mean, compared to you had a Friday night AEW, you know, with you know, 15,000 people and an incredibly rabid crowd. Then you come back with 45,000 people for WWE, and then now we're going to have this in front of 280 people, and it's kind of like when you could have it in front of 7,000, 10,000 people. Mm-hmm. I mean, snap your fingers. It's not like they couldn't sell those tickets because they could easily. So it's like, why would you do this?
And the taping schedule for NXT, and I say taping schedule because is it confirmed that they're going back to taping a numerous shows at a time as opposed to being live?
They're going to be doing that this week, but that's because they're refurbishing the building and they're trying to put more lights in and just redecorate the building. So they're going to have a couple of weeks off. So that's why they're going to be taping they're taping, I think, is it Monday and Tuesday of this week for a couple of weeks of TV, and then they're going to come back live either on the 7th or the 14th. But they are going to be live from that point again.
I see. Okay, so we'll see what this whole brand looks like. It's a very bizarre scenario. Anyhow, Dave, we've taken a lot of your time today. Appreciate that. Observer-wise, obviously, coverage of this incredibly busy weekend.
Yeah, obviously the Punk stuff and, you know, what the follow-up. You know, that's what this week is going to be, the follow-up of SummerSlam. The follow-up of Brock Lesnar, the follow-up... I mean, Becky Lynch is a SmackDown Women's Champion.
Yeah.
So, in theory, you know, she should be on TV wrestling every week. I don't, you know... We'll have to wait and see how... There's a lot of follow-ups. So wrestling is very intriguing right now. You know, and again, we still haven't had Daniel Bryan show up. And, you know, and there's going to be others. You know, I mean, not at the level of Daniel Bryan... But still, you know, you get your Buddy Murphys and your Bray Wyatts and you know, Braun Strowman, for that matter, as far as what's going to happen, where are they going to wind up. You know, Impact's in the game, too. You know, I mean, they can't pick up everybody, but they can pick and choose and probably, you know, make some money deals, too. So, it's going to be very interesting. And, you know, from another standpoint, Will Ospreay just showed up and started wrestling yesterday. So, you know... You got that stuff from New Japan and everything, running stuff in the United States and you know, New Japan's got two stadium shows coming up in 2 weeks, you know, on back to back. And AEW's got All Out in only a couple of weeks. And they got incredible ticket demand for that, like, you know, one of the biggest in history.
It's incredibly interesting and exciting, and I look forward to these chats every week with you about it, Dave. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you next week at this same time.
Okay, have a great week.
You too. We have Dave on every week here on the show, but of course you can get all his podcasts that come out a couple times a week. He's doing podcasts, I believe three, and that's all at WrestlingObserver.com, and you can read The Observer there as well. Great place. Hey, going to take a break. Coming back, we'll actually do some SummerSlam trivia next, and then later in the show, Boris Aguilar of the NXT Talk podcast will join me to chat about last night's event and preview tonight's event. That is all to come. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event.
Watching girls pass by. It ain't the latest thing.
If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
I'm Manny Arsenal, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand. 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Run Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday Night's Main Event presents...
Everybody hands go up.
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there. And they say yeah. And they say there.
Turnbuckle Trivia time here on Sunday Night's Main Event. And I gotta say, we rarely, if ever, get to do this style of trivia. I'll explain it in a sec, but first of all, let's introduce our two players today. First of all, we've got Brandon on the line from Charleston, South Carolina. Hello, Brandon. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Jason. How about you?
Good. You got a bit of a SummerSlam hangover going on?
Yeah, it was a late night.
It was a late night. We do pre-record this, so it was a late night. Sean from Toronto is your opponent. Sean, did you watch live last night into the wee hours of the morning?
No, I had work.
You had work. Okay, have you watched it yet?
No, I listened to the podcast.
Oh, boy. All right, because your topic today, guys... We used to do this all the time on The Law, where we would watch and then do it live and do the pay-per-view that was. Your topic is SummerSlam 2021. Here we go. Five questions each. Whoever does better gets the win, and you get a t-shirt of your choice from ballergear.ca, which maybe you want to get our new lady friend t-shirt. We'll find out. Brandon, first question is for you. You're player one. Sean is player two. Let's get into it. Hey, Brandon, at what venue did SummerSlam 2021 take place?
Allegiant Arena.
I'm going to give you, forgetting Allegiant, I'm going to give you a half point on that. It's Allegiant Stadium, a half point on that, and I'll be open to a half point on this. For you, Sean, what was the product name on the side of the truck that Miz and Morrison drove into Allegiant Stadium during the pre-show, as well as on Xavier's water tank?
Oh, yeah, I know it was a brand of water. I don't know. Pure Hour or something. Oh, no, that's hand sanitizer.
Okay.
Never mind.
You're not going to guess?
Well, I don't know.
Okay, well, you should have guessed because the answer was Pure Life. And I was gonna give you a half point, but you pulled it back, Sean. Well, that works out for you, Brandon. Here we go.
Yeah, yeah.
Brandon,
that was a tough one.
What match was on the pre-show?
Baron Corbin versus Big E.
That is correct for your point. Very good. Sean, to you, who conducted the interview with the new Raw Tag Team Champions, RK-Bro?
Mario Lopez.
Very good. All right. Now, similar to keep it even, Brandon, who interviewed Damian Priest after he won the title?
It's that lady in the yellow dress. Nicole.
You're buzzed out. It was Tiffany Haddish. Comedian Tiffany Haddish. All right, Sean, over to you. what two colors made up the majority of Rey Mysterio's ring gear?
Yellow and green?
I'm sorry, it was not. But you know what? To keep it fair, I'm going to give you a half point on this because I did so to Brandon in the first question. Yellow's correct. It was yellow and pink. And from what people tell me, it may have been a tribute to classic Randy Savage gear. 1.5 points each. No more half points, guys. You need, well, for this one, actually, Brandon, you only need one of two. Name one of the two Olympic wrestlers that appeared last night.
Gable Stevenson.
That's correct. Very good. The other one would have been Tamra Mensha Stock, but Gable Stevenson has been in a lot of rumors lately. Sean, to you, what is the name that was given to Becky's rock bottom style finisher?
Mansecution or something?
No, sir. It is the manhandle slam, and I'm not giving you half points on saying man. Next up, we go to, you can cement it here, Brandon. How did Edge give a nod to his wife in his match?
Oh, he hit the Glamazon slam. The Glam Slam.
That is what I was looking for. Glam Slam is correct. And with that, you've got yourself a win. You've got yourself a t-shirt. Brandon, congratulations. Sean, I mean, you are the t-shirt collector. You've got quite the lofty collection. But we'll talk to you next time in the new year when we get into the tournament. Guys, thanks for playing the game.
All right. Thanks, Jason.
We are going to take a break. We will bring it on back. And joining me next, Boris Aguilar, our host of NXT Talk, our weekly podcast. He'll be joining me with his co-host Matthew tonight on the after party, but he'll be here to preview NXT and also give his thoughts on SummerSlam. I mean, NXT feels like a funeral. We'll get into that whole business as well. But we do have an after party tonight, so if you're listening on terrestrial radio right now and you're a patron, check your inbox and you could be joining us live right now as we give you the scoop on what happened on NXT TakeOver tonight. That's all next, coming up right here on Sunday night's main event.
Hand me down a walking cane. Hand me down my hat.
I'm Boris Aguilar.
And I'm Matthew Ederer.
And we're still the Young Guns.
Even though, mathematically speaking, we aren't getting younger.
Every Wednesday morning, you can wake up to our show on the Sunday night's main event Patreon feed.
That show is NXT Talk, where we talk about NXT. We also rate every match and rant about the wrestling world.
The show is NXT Talk, and you can find it on SNME Radio's Patreon feed. That's patreon.com/SNME Radio.
Head now, head now, don't dream it's over, head now.
Welcome back. It is Sunday night's main event, and it's SummerSlam weekend, but it's a backward SummerSlam weekend. Just finished talking to Dave Meltzer about this, how WWE does SummerSlam on a Saturday and then puts NXT TakeOver on a Sunday. Now, granted, NXT TakeOvers do deliver. There's no doubt. And the matches that we have on tonight's card should deliver. But it also feels like a bit of a funeral. So I figured the best person to join me to talk about this is our NXT podcaster. He does the weekly NXT Talk podcast with his partner, Matthew. But Boris is on the show with me today. Boris, a backwards weekend.
Yes, it is. It is. For once, finally, NXT is on Sunday, but they're trying to bury NXT. So here we are.
Yeah, are you excited about this tonight? Because regularly, like, NXT takeovers are something to look forward to. I mean, once they started happening, NXT was the hot product, and it really does feel like, especially this weekend, Vince is burying his own creation.
Yeah, look, I'm excited because it's takeover. Takeovers, as you said, always deliver. I will always be excited for it. But in the grand scheme of things, in terms of the product itself, it's dire right now. Like I said on the podcast this week, I'm going to try to remain positive, wait and see. But it's so hard to really maintain a positive attitude to NXT right now, just because it just seems like they're trying to they're doing everything in their power to bury their own product, which is just like ridiculous. Why would you do this? You had the golden goose with NXT in terms of, you know, bringing in the hardcore fans. And it just seems like they're doing everything in their power to make us watch AEW.
Well, I think it was more so the Silver Goose. And here's my theory. You see, it was silver because it fell into second place. And you know what silver does? It tarnishes. And WWE has put its tarnish on the silver NXT product. Tonight, of course, though, what match is actually standing out for you? Because I got to say, Boris, I mean, I was so stoked to actually see a Karrion Kross match, which blew my own mind because it was with Samoa Joe. But that has all been lost now that Karrion Kross has been brought up to the Raw roster and has done nothing.
Yep. For me, yeah. So that's the thing, right? Like, they had this program. Everyone was so hot for this program. They bring him up to Raw, 101 seconds. That was it. Mm. There goes his career. The standout match for me is Ilya Dragunov versus Walter, too. Like, that match, in my opinion, should close the show. It won't. It'll be O'Reilly and Cole. But Ilya Dragunov and Walter, if anyone missed that their first matchup, go and watch it ASAP. It is honestly top five of 2020.
Now, do you think that they're going to switch this title tonight?
I think so. I think they will. Just the build that they've been doing on NXT UK and even regular NXT, I think that this is it. You know, it's the David versus Goliath. It's and I think it's time for Walter to just do his own another thing.
Well, what do you think he does do? I mean, this is a guy that doesn't want to move to North America, which is very restricting for him because he is a big dude, and even though he feels like he's a relic from the 1960s, I mean, I do think he's able to capture the imagination of the wrestling public because he's so different than everyone else. He's just a good old big crusher style monster.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing, right? Like, I know it's been reported many times. He's said it many times. He has no interest in moving to North America. So I think he's just going to do his thing in NXT UK. I think he's happy having his career out there. He can still work indies here and there when he wants, you know, obviously through permission and whatnot. But I think he's happy doing his thing and the power to him. And, it, you know, it's unfortunate because I feel like he is made for the main roster. I feel like he is a Vince type of guy, but it is what it is, really.
I mean, look what we have the potential of seeing tonight. I know I'm fantasy booking this, and I'm pretty sure it's not going to happen, but I mean, Walter winning and Joe winning and the possibility of those two stepping across the ring together as dueling NXT champions is something that dreams are made of.
That's exactly it, right? Like, that match, oh my Lord, like, that's a match that I would love to see. And it's a fresh matchup, which, you know, in WWE world, how often can you say fresh matchup? And that's what it is right there. I would love a match like that. Two big guys just going at it who would probably kill each other in the ring, and they would just have a cracker of a match.
So do you foresee Samoa Joe winning this championship tonight? I mean, it makes all the sense in the world with Kross being moved to another brand.
Well, you just said it right there. It makes all the sense. So why would it happen?
we joke about that, but it's just so damn true. It's funny because it's true.
That's the thing. Like, we're laughing. And now that you've, like, I was thinking about this earlier, too. It's like, okay, Joe should win. 99% of my brain says Joe's going to win. However, it's that 1% that WWE just loves to use and utilize, where it's like, just they're gonna keep it on Karrion Kross for some reason.
Like, if WWE had all the press and push with CM Punk on Friday night, they would have been like, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't do this here. Let's bring Daniel Bryan out instead. For no reason, right? It's like a surprise that you want later, but not now. But let's give it to them now because they don't know what they want. So let's give them this because we're going to tell them what we want. That's what it feels like consistently with WWE. Anyway, that's another story. Let's keep on this card tonight. So it's Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole. It's a 2 out of 3 falls match. I got to say, this is one that I'm not looking forward to because I think I've seen this feud end twice already.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Both matches that they've had previously always felt like the end, the blow-off match. And it is, you know, booking aside, okay, this is the third match. Let's just get this over with. And, you know, my issue with this match isn't the quality, isn't the booking. It's the match itself. We know. It's like a War Games match. It's going to go to the third fall. So why am I going to care about the first 30 minutes of the match?
Hey, man, you're preaching to the choir. And by the way, if I haven't said it yet to all of our radio listeners, Boris will be joining me tonight. It might very well be on right now if you are listening on terrestrial radio. Sign up at patreon.com/SNME radio. Boris, myself, and his co-host Matthew will be doing a recap and rundown of the NXT TakeOver card tonight on our Patreon feed. And you can not only listen, but you can watch it live, and it'll be available for podcast later. The only other highlight that I did want to touch on this card is Raquel Gonzalez versus Dakota Kai, the classic Shawn Michaels and Diesel scenario here. Dakota makes a good heel. Raquel has done really well as a champion, one of the most improved performers. I don't necessarily see a switch in this particular position with the title. Do you?
No, I don't. I was, again, we were talking about this on the show in midweek, and Dakota Kai has been getting some dark matches, so I kind of think that Raquel is going to win, and then we're going to see Dakota Kai have a fantastic, flourishing career in the main roster.
So jobbing out on main event?
Yep.
Okay,
exactly.
Cool. Yep, we know what we're talking about. All right, well, that's what's coming up tonight. Of course, though, it's been a huge weekend. Here's my question to many people that I've been chatting with on social media and that have been waiting for the moment to happen. Let's rewind to Friday. How many times have you watched CM Punk's debut in AEW?
It's okay. So on Friday night, I wasn't even home, but I went on my phone, watched it live. Then on social media and whatnot, I think I watched it like five times that night alone. Yesterday, watched it God knows how many times. This morning, I don't even know how many times I've watched it. Like, it's ridiculous. I have never been so enthralled, such a fan, such a mark, such a fanboy for something like I was for that entrance.
It's so incredible that, you know, we watch so much wrestling doing this show, these podcasts, and it is very rare that we have moments when we are able to absorb them like fans. And I, much like you, I was out at a cottage on Friday and Friday night out with my friends, having drinks, dinners, blah, 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 not thinking about anything wrestling oriented. But in the back of my head, I was like, oh man, before I go to bed, I don't want any spoilers and I got to watch this Punk thing. And I did. And then I got home yesterday and I watched it again because it was so good. To me, it was just reminiscent of the magic that Jericho had debuting with The Rock standing in the ring and the countdown going way, 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 way back, like 20 something years in WWE. Like, that's the magic that this had.
Yeah, 100%. Like, that's exactly what I meant. Like, it's very rare that I can just mark out and be a fan, but this just got me. This has won me over. You know, I'm very critical of AEW, maybe a little too much sometimes, because like I said many times, like, I judge them the same way I judge WWE, but that moment was just special. That moment was wonderful. Like, you could not have booked it any better. You could not have had better fans. It was just, everything about it was just so good.
And then, so if that's the case, how did you take the other two notable returns this week? We had both Becky Lynch and Brock Lesnar returning at SummerSlam. And unfortunately, I think that every wrestling fan that watches both products is making the comparison, and WWE probably thinks that they did a great job. What did you think, Boris?
I think that if it was any other week, any other day, any other show, it would have been fantastic. But it was the night after CM Punk's return, and it just, like, nothing is going to win after that. So I liked it. I would have booked Becky Lynch's return a little differently, but, you know, those are two stars. Those are two people that people have been wanting back for so long, and it was done well overall, but CM Punk wins. Like, it's just like, I'm happy that Brock and Becky are back, but It's CM Punk wins.
Well, Becky returning, I mean, already we get her with the title belt back on her, which I kind of questioned. And Brock, the funny thing with that is, you know me, I talk about, and on this show and all the podcasts, about how I just really enjoy fresh programs. And the fact of the matter is, Brock returning to face Roman Reigns, that's a new coat of paint, but that is not a fresh matchup.
Yeah, that's exactly it, right? Like, we've already talked about that. It's like, how many times do we just want something fresh? That's all we want out of WWE, and they can't give us that. Is it the big money match? Maybe. But, you know, we've seen it 1,000 times. We're going to see it 1,000 more times. And, you know, it's just like, it doesn't captivate me the same way that other programs could.
So out of SummerSlam, I mean, you did not watch it live. You watched it this morning. So that's great for you because you had the aid of a fast forward button. And I was dying for one last night. If we keep it positive, what did you like out of the show last night?
Oh, man. So the tag team match, I really enjoyed. And believe it or not, even Seth Rollins and Edge, I really liked that match a lot.
Did you feel the need? I like the entrance, but I just kept thinking, if you're going to do it, then where's Gangrel?
I thought the exact same thing. That's hilarious. It was fine.
To me, it just felt like something that ran very, very long. They really took advantage of the fact that, all right, if we do have all these people here and we're supposedly clear of the pandemic, we're not. But I think that's their mentality, that we're back to it. And we're also back to shows that start at 7 in the pre-show, and that thing went till midnight last night. And that's just too damn long.
Yeah, no, that's, I couldn't even fathom watching that live, to be honest.
Oh, man, yeah.
Like, I struggled this morning. I had a bit of a headache. That made it a lot better. So I was so grateful for the fast forward, because it's just like, you know, wrestling shows don't need to be that long. Like, even 3 hours is pushing it. But a 5-hour show end to end, there's no reason for that. There's absolutely no reason for that. Why are you doing that to your fans?
Yeah, and I mean, we will openly criticize AEW when they do this too, because they do this on pay-per-views, and honestly, a lot of the time, it just does feel too long. 3 hours is solid. I mean, generally, 3 hours is the length of a sporting event, whether it be some run longer, but baseball, football, hockey, it's kind of a 3-hour broadcast window, and that's really kind of, I believe, what you should be aiming at with pro wrestling. But clearly, WWE believes in more is more. Tonight, though, Boris, we will be 3 hours or under, it is my belief. Only 6 matches tonight, one of them being on the pre-show. So we look forward to having you and Matthew on that. Remember, if you want to listen, if you want to watch, join us, patreon.com/SNME Radio. It is the after party for NXT TakeOver to wrap up your SummerSlam weekend, which is still very, very bizarre. Listening on terrestrial radio, we are back here next week, same time, same place, same channel for Sunday night's main event. Don't you dare miss it.
Sunday night's main event is crowdfunded. You can support the show by joining our Patreon. Just visit patreon.com/SNME Radio. patreon.com/SNME Radio.